With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
100 years. 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins, he's going to go all the way.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
It's 150 years of college football as new national powers emerge.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
Superstars are dominating Saturdays like never before.
Jake wants to throw corner route to the right.
I think, yeah, touchdown.
Boy, you can't throw that football any better, Jake Fromm.
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, T.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And your toll-free line brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. How we doing, everybody? Happy Sunday morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us. What a huge Sunday Morning Football we have for you. How about Heisman Trophy winner from 1995, the great Eddie George, more than 10,000 yards rushing in his NFL career, was part of the 1999 Tennessee Titans team that played one of the most exciting Super Bowls ever. We've been celebrating 100 years of the NFL all season long and 150 of college football. Eddie George will join us coming up here later on in this hour. As always, we have your excessive celebration, your best play-by-play calls of Saturday's college football zaniness. And there's a couple of last-second field goals to win and a last-second interception to ice that's coming up in excessive celebration in about 15 minutes from now. And in hour number two, we've got our Vegas virtuoso, R.J. White, to look at today's NFL lines. We'll also discuss whether Georgia is playoff-worthy, the Chargers and Phillip Rivers' future together, and a huge one in Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson later on today. All of that is coming up here this morning on the show. As I mentioned, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, so you can jump in there on the phones. And we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Well, we have a lot to get to, a lot to do this morning. And a reminder that you can always watch us at watchda.com. That's a free, subscription-free, sign-up-free service for you. It's free, 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 free. Whatever it is that you watch or listen, you can use it on any device. That's your phone, your tablet, your PC, your desktop, your laptop, even your smart television. Just go to watchda.com. We've got the Colin Kaepernick workout to talk about. We've got Minnesota and Baylor losing yesterday. But we have to begin with the Tua injury. It is your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
D.A. is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
It is the end of Tua Tagovailoa's season. It is likely the end of his college football career. He can come out and enter the NFL draft, although what do you say about his draft stock after having injuries to both ankles last year and this year? Both ankles have been compromised, and now a hip dislocation. Tua has been wonderful when healthy. Unbelievably efficient when healthy. But can you count on him, A, to stay healthy in the NFL, where there's going to be bigger, stronger, faster guys chasing him? And what do you believe about the future of his hip now moving forward? I hate to bring up Bo Jackson, and it was a different era,
but a would-be Hall of Fame career was derailed because of a hip dislocation, and he was never the same. For Tua, let's see if this is his last game in college football, or if he wants to come back to prove that he's healthy next year. Or does that just risk more injury? But also think about how unique and in some ways bittersweet his college football career was. The Alabama Crimson Tide have been defined by defense and run of the football forever. And they had a defensive stalwart program that would just suffocate you to death. And they didn't even need great quarterbacking. They'd run the football, play defense, and they were fine. A.J. McCarron, Jacob Coker. You could just slide whoever you wanted in there and win a national championship. Tua came in and changed all of that. Tua was a guy that you won because of at quarterback. And yet, as the dust settles perhaps on his college career, we thought they might rip off three straight championships. He comes in for the last moments, the second half of that national championship game against Georgia 3 years ago. 2 years ago, really. Then, last year, ends up getting beaten badly as Trevor Lawrence holds the crown. And then this year, the season's over, and he's not even going to get there. So Tua, who potentially could have delivered multiple national championships to Alabama, might end up leaving with having never started in a national championship game. And yesterday, Alabama's playoff hopes came crashing down with Tua Tagovailoa's hip.
Tua being chased from the pocket. He is hit and throws the ball on the near side. It is incomplete along the 30-yard line, and Tua is not getting up. Tua's helmet is off, and he is not getting up. He is down on all fours. His helmet is being retrieved by Alex Leatherwood. The trainer setting the world land record, running across the field in blazing speed. Tua hit hard.
We can second-guess ourselves. You know, all we want, we told Mac to warm up. We're going to go 2 minutes for the half. You know, Tua wanted to play in the game. And so, you know, I don't really make a lot of decisions based on, you know, worrying about guys getting hurt.
I do think Nick Saban deserves criticism here. And I know you can get injured at any single play. But I believe that part of this was style points for Alabama, knowing that they were going to have to impress pollsters to get into the college football playoff, knowing they were going to have to look great in these wins, knowing that they didn't control their destiny because they were not going to be playing in the college football playoff, or I should say the SEC title game, that they had to make sure all of these other wins were spectacular. And I think that's why he was in. Yes, he wanted to play. Nick Saban saying we're working on the two-minute drill. You don't really need to work on the two-minute drill. There's no real reason in mid-November to be working on the two-minute drill. That was an opportunity that Nick Saban saw to doll it up and to make it even more spectacular in terms of the final score. He came back to bite him, and that's it. Alabama's not going to the college football playoff because there's simply no way you could then weigh the resume of Alabama having not won an SEC title and say, and they're bringing in their backup quarterback for the football playoff. It's not going to happen. Alabama's playoff dreams dashed yesterday. Minnesota and Baylor might have also had the same thing happen to them yesterday.
There was no doubt in our minds that we are one of the better teams in the country. And obviously we wish we could have the second half back. I bet you if you asked Oklahoma, they wish they could have the first half back, right? So, but I don't think there's a lack of confidence. I just think for us, you know, we got to this moment. We still haven't put a full game together. We kind of played half of a game. We'll go back. We'll say, hey, what do we have to do to put a full game together? It's our first kind of foray into November championship games, right?
It's not the end of the world. It's a tough loss. It hurts. It should hurt. It's a rivalry game. This is what college football is all about. Football matters in the state of Minnesota. It matters nationally. It's a good thing. But everybody knows that. It's not like Iowa didn't know that. They knew that. The fans out there knew that. This is one game. That's all that means.
Matt Rhule and Baylor lose in prime time when finally they get college game day there. Minnesota's Golden Gophers lose as well. They travel to Kinnick Stadium at Iowa City, and that was PJ Fleck and Matt Rhule. Look, they got exposed, okay? The simple fact of the matter was both those programs got exposed, and they're not terrible losses. Look, losing to Oklahoma not a bad thing. Oklahoma's the best team in that conference. Losing on the road to a ranked Iowa team, not terrible. Traveling to Iowa City in primetime has oftentimes done that to a lot of ranked foes. Simply put, you just had two programs that were punching above their weight this season. Baylor had escaped so many dangerous situations, overtimes and last-second moments and last-second changes of possession or plays that they had to make and the opponent didn't make. And Baylor played with fire one too many times and then blew an enormous, enormous lead against Oklahoma. So what does that tell us? That Baylor wasn't quite college football playoff caliber. No offense, but neither was Minnesota. And Minnesota's win over Penn State is a great win. But if you're talking about being a playoff caliber team, look, you've got to follow that up with answering the bell again. And is Minnesota going to be able to do that against Wisconsin? Is Minnesota going to be able to do that in the Big Ten championship game if they get there against Ohio State? If you can't handle coming off that big win last week and handle your business yesterday at Iowa, I don't know if I trust you doing the other two parts of this either. Great seasons for both programs. But I think we saw yesterday they got a little bit exposed. And finally, Colin Kaepernick changed where he was going to have his workout yesterday at the 11th hour, swapped it to a high school field, and that meant that there was a lot of scouts that were planning to go there that ended up not making the trip to it. So now you have Colin Kaepernick calling out the NFL, saying the NFL was doing a PR stunt. Is it possible Colin Kaepernick did the same exact thing to the NFL?
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I'll interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready.
Kaepernick says that there was a clause in the waiver that the NFL sent him that he was unwilling to sign. And so that's why at the 11th hour, he wanted to swap into a different site for his workout instead of it being Flowery Branch, home of the Falcons practice facility, instead a high school field. And I think what you have here is two sides that totally distrust one another, and they're trying to say that guy or that entity is not doing it right. And what you have is an eye for an eye here. The NFL didn't put its best foot forward in organizing this for Colin Kaepernick. There's just no way to say on a Tuesday, oh, it's going to be on a Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, middle of November, suddenly we're going to do it. Never spoke to an integrity from the NFL standpoint. And Kaepernick here, I think, is saying that, saying they never had my best interests at heart, and so now I'm pulling the ripcord on this. But in doing so, he lost some credibility. He lost some credibility because, you know what? To say we're suddenly going to change course when they could have changed course on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday makes it seem like this was spiteful by the Kaepernick camp. The fact is, Colin Kaepernick has always been good enough to play in the NFL. But there's been powers within the NFL did not want him there. He was bad for business. And so for the NFL suddenly to reverse course definitely feels artificial. And what I think you have behind the scenes is a CBA negotiation. The CBA runs out at the end of 2020. And this was going to be a fighting point from the NFLPA that Kaepernick was clearly good enough to play in a league that has all these chumps at quarterback and backup chumps and third string chumps. And he never was going to get a shot because, of course, the NFL said we didn't want that. It was bad for business. And so that was going to be a point of contention. And I think this was where the NFL said, fine, let's get something together. And then at least that appeases the NFLPA for the upcoming season to get those negotiations done, because there are people talking about it being done by February or March for the CBA negotiations. And so the whole thing reeked of not doing it the right way. It was haphazard. It was absurd. And then it just continued because I think yesterday Kaepernick and his camp said, they didn't have our best interest at play, at work, and so we're pulling the ripcord of the 11th hour. And in doing so, I think they also hurt themselves in some ways. The NFL wasn't going to allow the media there originally, and then the media got there yesterday. And so all of this never felt like it was truly on the up and up as a workout, and it continues here because neither side trusts what is going on with the other. And I don't blame either side for that. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got your excessive celebration, the craziest play-by-play calls of yesterday's college football action, including a pair of last-second field goal winners. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
And you can always listen to us across this great CBS Sports Radio network, also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. And listen to us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, radio.com as an app. Stream us on your smart speaker. Just say to your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio. It's all free. It's all there. You'll love it. I promise. We do this each and every week. 10 a.m. until noon Eastern time. 7 a.m. until 9 Eastern Pacific time on the West Coast. Coming up, we've got your 1995 Heisman Trophy winner. Eddie George will join us coming up here as we celebrate 100 years of the NFL and 150 of college football. Speaking of college football, here's the best play-by-play calls of yesterday's action.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it.
It's excessive celebration.
It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
Let's go to Ames, Iowa, where the Iowa State Cyclones, on the final play of the game, trailed 21-20. They line up for a 36-yard field goal to win it.
A 36-yard field goal try for the win. Snap is good. Hold is good. Kick on the way by Aselli.
He's got it! He's got it! And the Cyclones win it!
Sweet Caroline for the win. That's John Walters, Learfield, IMG College on the call. I mean, look at some of the losses that Iowa State has taken this year. They lost in that crazy game against Baylor. They lost by 1 point of that punt return botch against Iowa earlier in the season. They had lost by 1 point by missing the 2-point conversion last week against Oklahoma. They finally are on the right side of a close win as Iowa State moves into bowl eligibility with their sixth win of the season, 23-21. Now, elsewhere in the Big 12, Baylor was rolling 28-3. Everything had set up for Baylor yesterday. The Bears were getting national attention. Matt Rule's getting consideration for Coach of the Year. College Game Day shows up. Their brand new sparkling stadium on the shores of the Brazos River is now in lights. And here comes Oklahoma in, and Baylor's whooping them 28-3. Baylor's feeling good. People are tweeting, can you believe this turnaround? The program's unbelievable. Matt Rule's the best thing ever. This guy's a genius. And then 28-3 became 28-10, and then 28-10 became 28-17, and then suddenly, oh no, oh no. Oh, no, the whole thing went to hell in a handbasket.
From the 40, Brewer wasn't expecting the snap. He's got it. Quick throw out. It is.
Yes.
Intercepted.
He got it this time.
Intercepted. It was Benito. You cannot hitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the barn. In Waco, Texas, Lincoln Riley.
Intercepted by the defense.
Took a house in disrepair and refurbished it into their own palace on the banks of the Brazos. unbelievable.
Oh, no, Toby Rowland, Learfield, IMG College. Did you just do a fixer-upper bomb? Did you just go in on Chip and Joanna Gaines? How dare you, Toby? How dare you? Those are good people that make really nice houses. They've really fixed up Waco. I know. My wife dragged me to all those houses over the summer. We went there. Oh, yeah, I saw Chip and Joanna Gaines as everything. They were on College Game Day yesterday as celebrity pickers. And here is Oklahoma's voice taking a shot at those unbelievable DIY Angels. Baylor, it was a really good run, and 28-3 felt really good. But to get shut out at home in the second half, 24-0, and allow Oklahoma to come roaring all the way back. Jalen Hurts, he himself accounts for 415 yards of offense. And the heart ripped out of Baylor, Temple of Doom style, being shown it as it still pumps. Finally, in the Natty, the Bearcats are dancing because Cincinnati went to Tampa yesterday and pulled off a last-second field goal of their own. Here's the voice of the Bearcats, Dan Hoard.
Crosa is ready. Zach Wood, both hands on the ball. Fires it back to James Smith. He puts it down. The kick is on its way. It is good! Sam Crosa delivers again! And the Bearcats get out of Tampa with a three-point win at the gun.
Learfield, IMG College on the call, and Cincinnati still just one loss in the season. They're 6-0 in the American, 9-1 overall, and what a job that coaching staff has done to the Bearcats this season. They don't get a lot of run because it's only the American, quote-unquote, but another victory. Stack them up. USF's no good this year, but still going on the road in conference, getting that victory. Just another day in the park in the American for the Cincinnati Bearcats. And that is your excessive celebration. When we come back, I'm so excited. We've had such amazing guests throughout this season on Sunday Morning Football as we look back on the history of the NFL and college football. 100 years of the NFL, 150 in college football, and this guy has a big chapter in both of those books. The 1995 Heisman Trophy winner, a man that ran for over 10,000 yards in his NFL career, a guy that was just the model of consistency and durability at a difficult position in a difficult and physical era. Eddie George is going to join us coming up here next.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with D.A.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. D.A. with you here on Sunday Morning Football. As always, you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, also on Sirius XM Channel 206. And you can listen to us on your phone. Use the radio.com app, the CBS Sports app, or tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is a Heisman Trophy winner. He played in the NFL and was a four-time Pro Bowler as well. He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL and had his number 27 retired by the Tennessee Titans. He's in the Ring of Honor. His name is Eddie George. You know him well. He joins us this morning on the show. Eddie, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, man, I am doing great, man. How about yourself, brother?
I'm doing great as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good.
And, you know, these are the times of year that we get the Heisman House commercials, and we have all these old Heisman Trophy winners that get together, seemingly have a lot of fun, joke around with one another. How is that experience when you get together with a bunch of guys that all share this common bond like the Heisman Trophy?
Well, you talk about a common bond. It's really a brotherhood. It's a tremendous honor to be a Heisman Trophy winner. It's, my opinion, one of the highest awards that you can win as an individual. Really, it's a team award. You're just a representative of the team of that era. But when we get together, it's all love. We love on each other. We talk about business, our families, share stories, joke with each other, prank jokes on one another. So it's really a wonderful time, and I look forward and honored that I can be doing it year after year and have a chance to catch up with some of my Heisman brothers I haven't seen in quite some time.
Seems like you guys have a lot of authentic fun, and it seems like there is, as you said, a real brotherhood there. And is it because you guys have the bond of knowing what that pressure is like or what those expectations are like or what the grind of that season is like to then culminate in a Heisman Trophy? Or is it just that there's a band of brotherhood with all guys that have played college football at that level?
Well, you have a natural bond with guys that played at that level. But just with the Heisman itself, it's not just about the season. It's about the entire story. You know, going back to the childhood, the things that we had to overcome, the obstacles, the adversities, the highs, you know, definitely the lows that we all experienced. We all have a unique story that we can share and what made us who we are. You know, a majority of us weren't highly recruited or weren't big-time superstars. We had to really grind and work to get that recognition. And that's the common bond that we have. And we all share a faith, you know, in God. And that's another common theme. So it really is interesting when you look at each Heisman Trophy winner and you look at their background and you see the common thread. And that common thread has been tenacity. It's been perseverance and a sense of gratitude.
You know, I think Eddie George joins us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. I think now at Ohio State, you have guys that say, I want to be the next Eddie George. I think Ezekiel Elliott would have said, I want to follow in Eddie George's footsteps. There's been some great ones at Ohio State. Carlos Hyde, I'm sure, said, I want to be like Eddie George. When you were there, did you say, I want to be like somebody that had become before me?
Oh, man. Hell yeah. I mean, it was Archie Griffin that holds the king of the mountain. It was Keith Byers. I played with some great running backs that were in my class ahead of me, Raymond Harris, Robert Smith. So Carlos Snow was also in that lineage of great running backs at Ohio State. So anytime that you go to a school like Ohio State where they focus on the running game, you dot the I there, you got to hold some weight, you know. So I had plenty of guys that I looked up to when I went to Ohio State.
Dot in the eye, that's what it's all about. And the Buckeyes are once again in the national championship conversation. On the NFL side, there's some great running backs of the game today. We mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, and others. Is there one that you look at that you relate to that you might say, boy, that's my favorite one, that's my favorite running back to watch, or that running back kind of reminds me of me?
Well, I think Derrick Henry. Without a question. Huh. You know, he has the size, the speed, the way that he's improved from year one till now in terms of how he's approached the game, his work in between the tackles, his footwork, setting up his blocks, making people miss, running with authority. He's running behind his pads, he's imposing his will. He is, in my opinion, you know, one of the best backs, if not the best back in the league right now. He's doing it not with a lot. He doesn't have a lot of help right now because of the offensive struggles with the quarterback position is unsettled. But I think when you look at the Titans and how he's starting to come into his own in that offense, as they start to shape up, keep a close eye on him in the back half of the season, I think he's the guy that I've enjoyed to watch. That he reminds me of myself in terms of getting the hard tough yards and wearing out defense for the fourth quarter.
It feels like running backs' careers are shorter than ever now, and that's because with the two-back system, they're more interchangeable. And so there's not a one back where a franchise says, we got to ride this guy for the next decade or so. You had seven 1,000-yard seasons. That's an amazing total to end up having in your NFL career when you look back on that. Do you look back at some of your numbers, more than 10,000 yards, and say, boy, I really got the most. I maxed out my NFL career.
Well, I can say that I have. And, you know, let me be clear that I could have gone back into my season, my career, to different teams and tried to squeeze out, in my opinion, not meaningless yards. And I don't mean that in a degrading sense, because some guys can continue to play and have the blessing to do that. But I wanted to be a part of something and have my yards, you know, my contribution going toward a championship and have it be meaningful. And I can definitely say that I pulled out the best years of me during that time over my 9-year career. So I definitely look at, you know, the things that I've accomplished with a sense like, man, I did that. You know, that was incredible, because when you look at the injuries that are happening today,
Most guys can't make it week to week, and I never missed a game due to injury in my 8-year career with the Titans. And I just think of that, I think of that as being blessed and just in all of that when I really look at it that way.
From 1996 through 2003, you never missed a game. You started every single game. That's an amazing run of durability and longevity at that position at a time where it was still a really physical, grinding NFL. Yeah. Did you see injuries?
Black and blue division, mind you, too.
No doubt.
I had to see Baltimore twice. I had to see Jacksonville twice. I had to see Pittsburgh twice. Cincinnati twice. They had some good defenses. You know, Cleveland was Cleveland, you know, but
yep.
it was murder's row. And you had to be a grown man in that conference to play running back.
Yep, this was before the Titans went to the AFC South. Did you see players being in the same franchise as a guy like Earl Campbell? Did you see players that were really injured that you said, you know what, I don't want to leave the game that way?
I didn't see that. I mean, when Earl played, it was a different time and era. Technology had changed since that time, and certainly has changed today, where guys are recovering faster. Back then, when Earl was playing, and like when I first got in the league, I mean, guys were smoking cigarettes at halftime.
Yeah, which is crazy to think about.
To get carved up and to get rehydrated. I mean, it was crazy now. You know, we're doing hyperbaric chambers, we're ice tubs, we're changing our diet, we're doing yoga, we're getting, you know, 19 hours of sleep. I mean, so much has gone into it. So, and these are things I still do today to keep myself fit. So I never was concerned about the back end of that because I was always going to try to take care of my body to the best of my ability.
Eddie George is our guest this morning on the show. You said you kind of wanted to avoid just hanging on to the league to get meaningless yards. Was any part of that appetizing when you were getting courted by teams in 04, 05 to say, you know what, I could hang on, I could keep playing, or did you know you wanted to get out?
Well, I would just be prolonging the inevitable, in my opinion. And my heart wasn't into it because it was the business side of it at that point in time. You know, I didn't want it to just tag on yards, just to tag on yards. See, I got to, you know, 15,000 yards without winning a championship or just getting in it for the money. And that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not demeaning that at all, but that just wasn't in my heart. I wanted to play, you know, for organization, for with the locker room that I was aware of, that I could contribute differently at that particular time. It was time for me to really focus on my true team. That was my family, my wife, my kids. And I didn't want to pull them across the country from city to city of avoiding the inevitable. So I just took my chances on my life after football and focused on that and my family.
As we celebrate 100 years of the NFL, you played in a really interesting time in one franchise's history, and that was the Oilers. You began as an Oiler in Houston. They had one foot out the door, went to Tennessee. You played 2 years kind of as a nomad, that organization, before they settled in Nashville with the new stadium. And so you were part of a really kind of uprooted experience in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
How difficult was it to try to adjust to the NFL and then also adjust to basically four different cities in 4 years?
Well, it was tough to really get stability within the organization and have an identity of who we were and what we were going to be. And not to have fan support, not to have a stadium, and really have a true sense of home, that we could have a home field advantage, was tough. And it was distracting. We could have easily used that as an excuse not to excel. And those are my best years that I've had. You know, my rookie year, I went to four straight Pro Bowls thereafter in lieu of not having a home. And that was a testament to the direction and guidance and tutelage of Jeff Fisher, who said, hey, you know, this, we can use this as an advantage for us, because when teams come in here sleepy-eyed, they're not expecting energy, and they have to generate their own energy. So we kind of use that to our advantage. And we went 8-8 during those years, but if anything, it made us more of a family. it made us have more appreciation for the things that we do have. And when we got the facility, when we got the fanfare here in Tennessee, and we finally got this thing on this on the rails, we wanted to keep it that way. And that's why we played as hard as we could to keep the fans coming, to keep them interested, to keep a home field advantage.
Before I let you go, I got to ask you about the 1999 Tennessee Titans ending up in the Super Bowl, one of your best seasons, mm-hmm. the organization's best season. 99 wild card game is the crazy Music City Miracle. You guys end up going on the road and beating the Colts in the divisional round in the AFC title game. Nobody could beat the Jaguars in 1999 except for the Tennessee Titans. You guys did it again in that AFC title game. What was that run like to get to your Super Bowl?
It was epic. It was truly special. And you just reeled off some of the great moments we had in the franchise's history, you know, all in one year, in one season.
Yeah.
You know, where even the 12 inches that we left on the field with the Rams, I mean, that's iconic. So, you know, I look at the team. It was really a special team. Now that I've gotten older and away from the game, you look at teams and how they're built and the people, the personalities that make up the team. And that was one of the special teams. Although we didn't win a Super Bowl, to have Steve McNair as a quarterback, Bruce Matthews anchoring the offensive line, Javon Kearse having an exceptional rookie year. We had some dogs on the defensive side of the football, Blaine Bishop, Marcus Robertson, Samari Roll, just to name a few guys. And, you know, our style of play was one where we want to eat iron fist for 60 minutes plus. You know, we weren't going to put up 55 points a game. So it was truly a remarkable time in the Titans' history.
Eddie George joining us this morning on the show. More than 10,000 yards in the NFL, a college football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner as well, and one of the great runs of durability going his entire Tennessee Titans career without missing a start or missing a game. It is so good to catch up with you, Eddie. I appreciate it so much. You're all class all the time. So thanks so much for finding time for us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure. Eddie George joining us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. And George, in many ways, was also the last of a breed. He was the last of a breed where you really drafted a guy that high and said, he's our workhorse for the next 7-8 years. He's our single back. He's our workhorse. We're not going to split carries. We're not going to save his body. We're just going to run him. We're just going to put the saddle on him and run him. And once Eddie George retired in 04, it really had shifted. Certainly by the late part of that decade, nobody was drafting a running back anymore and saying, you're our every down back guy. And now there's even guys like Saquon and Ezekiel Elliott that are drafted very high, but the knowledge that they won't do it all. They're not going to be out there for 30 carries. The game just doesn't have that anymore. And the fact that George was the last of that kind of era to do so and was so remarkably durable, he took so much punishment and to never miss a game. I mean, the fact that he started 16 games a year for all of those years at Tennessee is something that is a real anomaly in football and is kind of hard to even wrap your mind around. I'll get to your phone calls coming up here because we've got a lot to talk about for today's NFL slate and what happened in college football as well. So hit me up at 855-212-4227 or hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the Chargers and Phillip Rivers headed for a divorce, Lamar versus Deshaun today, and the Georgia-Auburn game from yesterday. It's all coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.